life, and who should I do it with, right? So those kind of questions. And then, so I was praying, and then one night, I still remember one night when I was praying, suddenly, you know, Rachel's name came to my mind, popped out of nowhere, you know? Well, I was surprised by myself too, you know, like, oh, what the, you know? Because I thought that I'm going to marry a Singaporean, you know? I was born in Singapore, I grew up in Singapore my whole life, so I thought, you know, I will meet a nice Singapore girl, you know, a Christian girl, and then maybe we'll get married. But then Rachel's name came up, so that really caught me off by surprise. But then, so I didn't think much about it. So weeks passed, and I just continued to pray, you know. And a few weeks later, when I was praying, again, same thing happened. Her name came up, you know. And then that's when I realized that, oh, it's kind of strange, you know. Why does her name keep coming out when I was praying? And that's when I realized that God wanted me to maybe, you know, start praying about Rachel. And so I started praying, okay, God, you know, if this is not from you, please take it away, you know. If it's not from you, please take it away. But if it's something that originates from you, then, you know, please let me know. So after a month, as I was praying, same thing, you know, Rachel's name keep coming up. That's when I realized that, okay, you know, maybe this is something that God is doing. So I went to share with one of the pastors in the church. I want to share with him about, you know, this thing. And then he was encouraging me to pray about it. And so fast forward the story, you know, 2 years pass, you know, kind of, you know, when I was asked to, encouraged to pray more, and then, and 2 years has passed, and then in that 2 years, I was serving on the Global Access Ministry. That is the International Students Ministry in the church. So it's a group where, you know, all our international students from around the world. So I was invited to, you know, help lead a life group, just like SWAG, you know. So we have a life group for international students. So Rachel was also asked to lead. So we were asked to co-lead together, to partner together by the pastor. So I think in that year, you know, we were able to get to know each other a lot more, and really see how, I was able to see how Rachel interacts with others. So at the time, I did not, you know, do anything, you know, so she doesn't know that, you know, I was praying about her or that I even like her. So, but through the serving together, I was able to really see her in action. And I was able to, you know, got a lot of confirmation of what I have seen in her that really drawn me. So at the end of that year of serving together, not yet. So almost there, but not yet. Not graduation yet, but that was my senior year, last year, fourth year. That's when the same pastor that I talked to, he told me he feels like, okay, you know, if I feel that God is leading me to, you know, to approach Rachel, that, you know, I can go ahead and do it. So in my last year of my college, that's what I did. I approached Rachel. I shared with her, you know, everything from the beginning, you know, how I first started praying about her, how I talked to the pastor, how I prayed for her for the last 2 years, and how, you know, I've known her and developed a friendship with her. And I feel like, you know, God wanted us to, you know, go to the next step. And I invited her to pray about it, to consider, you know, the possibility of that. So I've been talking a lot, so maybe I can let Rachel talk a little bit too from her side of the story.
Okay. So for me, I was serving a bit longer than Jackson, and so I was looking kind of at people who are, you know, serving alongside me, or people who are much older, or, you know, other pastors even and leaders that I was admiring. And so when Jackson came along, I was like, huh? like when yeah. Yeah. So when yeah, when he well when we were leading together though, I think before, you know, I just knew of him and I heard, oh, there's a Singaporean student who's really, you know, devout and faithful, and you know, like a lot of times some of the international students when they come to school, they're so busy studying because that's the reason why they came, right? So they don't really get so involved with serving the church or building community. But I've heard of Jackson that, you know, he's one of the very rare Singaporeans who actually come to church, you know, very faithfully. So I just heard good things about him, but that was about it. And then it was through Global Access that I did get to know him a lot more. And yeah, I saw really good qualities and I, you know, respected him. And, you know, we also realized at the time that we have the same heart, you know, for China, because, you know, independently we have been just praying for China and missions work and things like that. So that was really cool. But when at the end of the year, when he did, like, it's funny that he said he invited me to consider. So when he, yeah, when he kind of asked me out, in other words, to pray about it, like what Pastor Seth said, my first reaction was, ew. sorry, honey, but it was a long time ago. Ugly duckling. Yeah. He was not in my radar. You know, I just saw him as like a good fellow brother in church, but nothing romantic and, you know, no chemistry at the time. And so I was like, oh, okay, you know, maybe I was too nice. You know, like maybe I gave him wrong ideas or, you know, just kind of like, oh, you know. Anyway, so after he approached me, we decided to pray for that summer, and he went back to Singapore, and then I was in Ann Arbor, and we prayed for about 3 months, I think. And during that time, like I didn't hear anything very clear from God, like yes or no, you know. And at the same time, I was seeking counsel from, you know, pastors and some of the older sisters, my roommates, you know, like people that, you know, that I really trust and that I respect, and people who really know me. And it was interesting, like, because nobody has like raised any flag about him. Like everyone said, yeah, like he's a really good guy, and I think you can consider, you know, why don't you pray about him. And you know, and even some of the pastors that I really, you know, respected and followed, Pastor Seth and Pastor Andrew in Indonesia, like, you know, they really kind of, yeah, you should think about, he's a good guy, you know, like, well, they knew for 2 years that he's been praying about me, so they were like, kind of like, yeah, he's a good guy, yeah, you know. And so I was, yeah, okay, all right. So I didn't feel like, you know, if anyone that I trusted who knew me well said, oh, I don't know, Rachel, maybe you should, you know, if they had any concerns, maybe I wouldn't go for it. But because everyone was very positive about it, so I think that helped me to kind of overcome, you know, my lack of, I don't know, initial chemistry to start the relationship. And so after I prayed, you know, we decided to give it a try to kind of build friendship. So like we didn't like become like, oh, you're my boyfriend, you're my girlfriend, like kind of that kind of relationship. But it was more very slow, like we just, because before we were just serving as co-leaders, but now we became friends. So, so I think after getting to know each other a little bit more, I just became, you know, a little bit more open to him. It just took me a long time. I put him through misery. I, like, made him wait for a really, really long time. And I just told him, like, oh, yeah, I just need to pray a little bit more. And, like, I kept dragging it. Long story short, yeah. And I think God just had to do a lot of work in me because I had a lot of, high expectations for my future husband. And, you know, I had a list of things that I wanted. And, you know, he wasn't meeting some of them. So I was like, oh, you know. And I think in the end, God was just really humbling me, like, you know, and he had to really come down hard on me, you know, to really see him as God's, you know, child, and that, you know, God has, you know, so much potential and vision for him. And I think for us women, sometimes, like, we look, you know, in general, we want to admire and we want to respect, you know, our future husband, which is, it should be that way. And so I think a lot of times we look upwards, you know, like maybe older men or older spiritual leaders or things like that. And that's what I did. And I think, God had to just kind of break that side of me. And so, because it was, he was literally ugly duckling. Because when, yeah. No, you gotta listen, you gotta listen. Because back then, he, yeah, like, like when I was really prideful in serving ministry and stuff, I remember he was serving on media team in one semester, and I was in hospitality team. And you know, hospitality, I was always in the back seating people, welcoming people, right? And he was in media, so he was always in the corner, you know, video recording the service. And you know, like I would always look up in the stage, oh, that pastor, oh, that leader, you know, so admiring, so great. And then here's this guy with the camera in the corner. So like, you know, I wasn't very impressed because spiritually or, you know, ministry-wise, he wasn't, like, up high, whatever. So I think God just had to really break that. And later, many, many years later, when we led Singapore Church, you know, our roles reversed. Like, he became the leader of the church, so he's up there preaching, and I'm in the background, you know, just, you know, supporting. So I realized, like, you know, he just... God had his timing with him too, like to use him in a great way that I didn't see back then when I was really lacking faith. And so that's why he became a swan, you know, now. He's a swan. And so anyway, so yeah, like that's kind of how we got together and continued our courtship. But like how I said, I put him in misery because even after we started our courtship, just within 6 months, right? Courted in Ann Arbor together for 6 months, and then after he graduated, he went back to Singapore, and then I moved to Austin, Texas to help start the church there. So we were long distance from Singapore and Texas for our first year in our relationship. So that was pretty challenging. And then the following year, he's like, are you ready to come to Singapore? And I say, I'm going to Indonesia. So I moved to Indonesia the following year to help the church plant in Indonesia. And so that was the second year or almost third year of our relationship. And that year we got engaged. And so we were long distance, but thankfully, Singapore and Indonesia pretty close, and so he came to visit me like more often. And we did our premarital in Indonesia. We were wedding planning, you know, separately. That was challenging too. And so finally, after that year, we got married in 2010. So here's our wedding. There's Pastor Seth with more hair. So we got married in Seattle. That's where my family is. And then after we got married, maybe you can continue.
Yeah. After we got married, we finally, you know, Rachel came to Singapore. Finally got her to come to Singapore. And that was the year that we actually planted the HMCC of Singapore site, the church there. And this is just one of the pictures a few years later where the church grew from like 5 or 6 people to, you know, like a life group. And I think it was one of the really... most fruitful time, you know, of our marriage as we, you know, get married and then right away, you know, you start a church and also just helping people to, you know, grow in their faith. But I think that experience actually drew us closer together and we realized that having the same vision and the same heart, the same purpose in life was so important. I'm not sure how many of us, you know, really think about that when we, you know, thinking about, you know, future marriage, whether that person have the same purpose in life, whether they have the same values as you, whether they have the same going the same direction. Because for us, you know, we were going in the same direction. We knew that, you know, we want to start churches. We want to spread the gospel to the nations. And so it kind of draws us together into the same with the same heart, you know, on the same page, and it helps our marriage so much. As Pastor Seth shared, you know, like when you come together, it's two, you know, very different persons coming together. So there's a lot of conflicts, a lot of differences, but then the most important glue, the super glue, was, you know, that Christ was in the center of the marriage, and that we have the same values. we have value the same things. We want to do the same things for God. And so the starting the church was actually one of the big things that, you know, cemented our marriage. And then as you see the slide, we got to go on a trip to the Great Wall of China, 2012, yes. So, you know, as Rachel previously shared, you know, God put a burden for China in our hearts even before we came together, even while we were still single, you know, and he continued that work even after we got married. So we went to China to pray about the future, the next step to take. And on that trip, we felt like God is, you know, telling us to go to, that he wants to use us in China. And so that's why, you know, from 2012 and 5 years later, 6 years almost, now we are in Hong Kong and we are getting ready and praying for, you know, to go into China, mainland China. So I think that's our story in short, you know. And I think maybe some of us have some questions. We could, you know, we'd love to share more. Okay?
Well, I'm just going to ask some questions. I don't know if any of these are all, or all of these are questions you asked, but we can also have time after if we have time, or you can talk to them personally as well if you have more specific questions. But we're going to kind of group some of the questions together and hopefully it'll be helpful. But I think one thing, at least I was encouraged, I think Jackson, you can tell he's a man of integrity and character because you were eyeing Rachel, but then you had the self-control to honor her and to like build a friendship. So one of the questions is like, yeah, how can you become like a friend with someone without giving them the wrong idea? But then also like, how did you know, like when is the right time to actually begin a relationship? Or maybe how did you know you personally were ready to start this journey?
Okay, I think that, yeah, there are a few parts to that question. So I think the first part is, how do I, is that a question?
No.
Okay, so the, I think what really helped me was that I share with somebody, you know, who kept me accountable, or who, like the pastor that I shared with, he gave me advice, he gave me good counsel. So I remember when I was, it was hard waiting, you know. I think I grew up in Asia, and in Asia, the mindset is, you know, always just do it, you know, do it before somebody else do it, you know. So there's always the temptation, right, for guys. Just to be real here, you know, like always like, you must be the first, you know, otherwise somebody is going to get to it first. So I struggle with that a lot, you know, it's a wrestling in my heart, tension. Yeah, like what if some other guys, you know, make the first move first? Yeah, so I it was torturous, I remember. But because I had a pastor who I shared with and he was praying for me, and not just the pastor, but also I shared with my my roommate, actually. My very close friend, you know, he was the best man at my wedding too. He stood at my wedding. So I shared with him to ask him to, you know, pray for me, keep me accountable. What does keeping me accountable mean? It means that he will, you know, maybe ask me like honest questions, you know, like, hey, you know, have you been able to draw the boundaries with Rachel? You know, do you do anything stupid? You know, do you do anything that is not honorable? Right? So I think having those people in my life really helped me to, you know, like, feel like I'm not alone, but that there are other people who care for me, you know, praying for me and walking with me. And I think, by God's grace, I was able to not cross the line, you know, so I put certain boundaries in place. So certain boundaries. So the pastor gave me advice, like, you know, do not do for Rachel what I would not do for any other sister. Do not do for Rachel what I would not do for any other sisters. And I felt like that was, you know, like, that was gold. It's truth, right? Because if she's a sister that I love, there's all these other sisters that I love. So whatever I do for Rachel, I should be able to do for the other sisters too. And that was the principle that I kind of used to judge everything. So there were times I'm tempted to like buy flowers, send it to her. You know, I was very tempted to do that, you know. Yeah, now I don't do it anymore. Not as much. I do it, but not as much. Maybe Valentine's Day, you know, or birthdays. But back then it was like, yeah, you just want to find every single opportunity to, you know, to drop hints, you know, to show, right? So that was the temptation was there. So I think that principle really helped me.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so how did you know as single adults, I think we're kind of all like, you know, thinking about it, but even looking at our own maturity or character or just timing of your life, were there any, was anything that was helpful to, I guess, kind of feel like, okay, I'm ready to pursue this, or things
that helped? I was getting old. Just kidding. partly it's true, but I think for me, I actually struggled quite a lot about relationship. I actually had never had a relationship before I was in one with Jackson, but I always wanted to be in one. And so that was something that I always struggled, especially in my mid-20s, you know, especially during that time when a lot of my friends were starting to get, you know, get in relationship, like Sarah, you know, we were roommates and she was starting to date Dave and I was like, oh, you know, what about me, you know? Anyway, so yeah, I really quite struggled about it. And I think it came to a point where I felt like God was really challenging me to surrender marriage, period. And that was really, really hard because, you know, I just had to really pray one summer where I had to just really learn to let go the whole idea of wanting to be, you know, in a relationship or the whole idea of wanting to get married. And I had to come to a point where I had to be okay and surrender. Like, God, you know that I want to get married, but I think I will be okay even if it doesn't happen. That I will continue to serve you and live, you know, live out my calling and live out my vision. So I did a Daniel fast that summer, and I just really, it was really painful to let it go. But I did come to terms with it, and I had peace in my heart that I will be okay even if nothing happens. And that time, you know, I was already in my like late 20s, so but I kid you not, but God's timing is really perfect because when I really let that go that summer, it was end of that summer, and that's when I kind of learned about, Jackson kind of approached me, you know, after I surrendered it. So I think God was just waiting for me, you know, to surrender, you know, to him first. And so I guess that's when I was ready. Yeah, after I surrendered.
And what does a Christ-centered relationship look like for your marriage? I think maybe some of us may not have examples of these or maybe know what it actually looks like. And maybe tied with that, I think you did mention, like, because of the same vision, same heart, and the same faith that really helped you to, you know, go through marriage, probably the ups and the downs too. Like, how has that helped versus if someone maybe is with someone that is struggling in their faith or maybe not as on the same page in their faith and walk with God? I guess, how has it really helped you to really prioritize and see how valuable that is for your marriage?
I can start first. I think some things that help is definitely like 24/7 accountability. You know, you cannot run away from, you know. Your spouse, you know, is right there, you know, to keep you accountable. So, you know, when we're single, you know, sometimes we want to hide, you know, we want to, you know, just run away from God, you know. You can, right? Nobody is chasing after you. But when you're married, you know, and because my spouse is a Christian with the same faith as me, you know, she will encourage me, remind me, challenge me to be faithful, you know, to continue to love God. So there are times when, you know, like I'm so tired that I want to, you know, skip gatherings or I want to skip reading the Bible maybe. But then Rachel is there to, you know, kind of like encourage me to pray, or sometimes she will even take the initiative to like, hey, you know, let's pray tonight, or hey, let's read the Bible together. So I think that is that's priceless, because if I were with someone who does not have the faith, then maybe I wouldn't have been able to enjoy that in my marriage.
Yeah, I think that's more on the spiritual values and same faith part, which totally, I think it's important. But I think for me, I'll talk about values, because I think it's so important to have the same values with your future spouse, because and our values stem from the Bible. We, you know, things that we value, our perspective of the world is all shaped by God's word. And so the way we, you know, even after we got married and, you know, we face certain circumstances or decisions that we need to make, even though we need to discuss about it and sometimes we disagree as well, but in the end, whenever we made any decisions, it was always based on our values, you know, on God's word and principles. And so I think that really, really helped to grow our marriage and our relationship as well. And I think, like, without that, you know, we wouldn't be together today because we're just so different. You know, he was raised in Singapore and I was raised in America, and, you know, he's Chinese, I'm Korean. And just like, there's so many like layers of differences that we have that I think just in the end, you know, after we hash out those differences, we always come back together by God's grace and, you know, God's truth. And so that really helps us. Yeah.
I know you were long distance for quite some time. I think we have some people who are in that situation. So how did you navigate that? Or what were some key things that were helpful, maybe more broadly applicable as well to like anybody in the future, but also even like how do you stay faithful to someone? Maybe people might get bored or annoyed, want to, you know, call quits, but you know, in general too, how did you really commit to each other and I guess stick it out even when you wanted to give up? So that's a twofold question.
Okay, so long distance is not for the faint-hearted. It's not easy. It's really tough. And if not for, you know, God, I don't think, I might have given up because it's so hard. I don't know. I feel like it's harder for the guy. Because for guys, maybe guys are more, you know, more tangible, you know. So if long distance is like you don't see the person, you know, you can't hold hands, you can't touch the person. It's so intangible. So it was very hard for me during those 2 years that we were doing long distance. And I think we only saw each other maybe once a year when you were in Texas. Yeah, only once a year. And when he was in Indonesia, it was better. In Indonesia, it was like every 3 months, 4 months once. So, I think, but then having said that, long distance, if you can survive it, wow, the benefits, you will reap the benefits of it because, you know, it really helps us to develop very, 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 very good communication skills. That's how we got so many answers correct. Because it forces you to talk and share and, you know. So in that sense, you know, we might not be able to do that if we were, you know, in the same place, you know. Then we would not be focused on really communicating well. Not just communicating, but communicating well, you know, so that, you know, you don't misunderstand. And there are times when, you know, we misunderstand each other a lot, you know, because of different culture. And but then the long distance forces us to get better at it, to, you know, think of how we express ourselves. Even when we are upset, and how do you express that in a way that doesn't disrespect the other person? So it forces you to really work on those areas. And I think that, yes, it formed the foundation for our marriage.
I think practically, like, it sounds like we talk, like, on the phone for, like, all the time, but we actually didn't. Like, we had to schedule just because it's, like, time difference and stuff, too. But we just found different ways to communicate, so not just, like, phone calls. We definitely did that, like, maybe once a week. But we did, like, we kept blogs together. We journaled. So we did really old school stuff. Yeah, we like had a real actual journal book, and, you know, I will keep it. I'll journal for like say a month, and then I'll ship it to him, and then he'll read everything I read, and then he'll journal his part, and he'll ship it back. And I know it sounds so like ancient, I know, but it was really like we have like how many journals together? Like 5, 6. We have a box of journals during our courtship and long distance, and it's very good memory. I should go and read them again. But like things like that, we found different ways to communicate, and I think it helps. Sometimes like talking helps, but sometimes writing also helps, you know, things like that. I think, well, for us, we try to first year was especially hard just because, like he said, we only saw each other once a year, and we were on opposite side of the world, right? So it was definitely tough. So, you know, we just had to be faithful with our communication, you know. But the second year is when we got engaged. And I think that helped because we had that commitment, you know. We knew that, you know, after we got engaged, we are both committed to go deeper and make this into a covenantal marriage. And so I think we, yeah, I think that helped us to stay faithful. I mean, of course, like accountabilities around us, mm-hmm. church community, you know, always helped.
And just to add to that, I mean, as I was sharing, it was really hard for me. And there were definitely moments when I really questioned, you know, like, oh, is really Rachel the one, you know, is this really worth it, long distance? And what really kept me going was actually, when I look back, it was the 2 years of praying, of the conviction that I got. So now I realize why God wanted me to pray for 2 years, you know. If I didn't pray for 2 years, I would have, you know, this is not working, you know. I'm going to look for somebody in Singapore. But because of the prayer and that conviction that God put in my heart, I always look back to it. Like, no, she's the one. I know it. So that kept me going.
I mean, I think you've all been in our shoes. I think a lot of us are in our mid-20s. I mean, there are a lot of things that we struggle through. And even, yeah, being single and, like, future. So what would you maybe tell to your 20-some-year-old self? Or I guess if you think about even being in a community like ours in this life stage, what would you encourage some of us to, either work on or grow in, or, you know, some things that you really feel like were invaluable in this time that really has helped you to where you are today?
Well, I think to those for us who have maybe, you know, had a relationship before and no longer in a relationship, I want to encourage you that, you know, man's rejection is actually God's protection. Because I was actually in a relationship when I was in Singapore before I went to Michigan. And when that relationship ended, I felt so rejected, you know. It was the other person who, you know, broke it off. And I felt like my life really, you know, just got torn apart. I was at the lowest point of my life. And but when I went to Michigan, I went to the church, HMCC. That's when God really restored me. And I began to see that, you know, God was using that rejection. That was actually his protection on me, because he has actually prepared somebody else better who is perfect for me. And I just want to encourage those of us, you know, with that. And I think another thing is I think to encourage us is that God, he never delays. For those of us who might be waiting, as I was waiting for the 2 years, I felt like it was a waste. All right. I felt like, you know, why do I have to wait 2 years? You know, it's so much time is wasted. But I think in God's dictionary, the word, you know, delay maybe doesn't exist. Because to God, he doesn't delay. He's working behind the scene. He's always working. It's just that I don't see it, you know. As Rachel shared, he was working in Rachel's life. And that was the reason why. To me, I was seeing it as a delay, but actually it wasn't. He was working in her life and also preparing me, my life.
I guess for me, for those of us who have never been in a relationship and who are just waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, and just feeling like, God, when is it going to happen for me? You know, all these stories I hear, I was there. Don't worry. And it's tough. It's really challenging. And, you know, I doubted God's love for me. I doubted God's calling for me. I doubted everything. But I think looking back, yeah, like as Jackson was sharing, like, there was no delay, you know, when I look back, because everything that, you know, the timing of it, the way that God has orchestrated everything to bring us together, like God had to do a lot of work, you know, in our individual lives. And especially for me, like to really not just like, of course, work on my character and things like that. But I think for me, I just had to I needed that time as a single to really have a clear vision for myself and calling. Because a lot of times for women, like, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes like you hear things like, oh, you know, girls can just follow the guy. And, you know, like, biblically, he's the leader and I am following him. He's my spiritual leader. But I think, you know, we are also, you know, called to serve God. And, you know, God has given us specific purpose in life and calling and talents as well. And for me, I needed to really spend that time to understand that my personal calling, my personal vision and passion. And so, like, I when I look back, wow, God really used that time to help me to clarify those things so that when I was ready for a relationship, the guy that brought, you know, God brought into my life, he had that same vision. And, you know, that's when I was like, oh, wow, you know, like, this is why God was preparing me to help me to understand what he was calling me to do. So I think, you know, for those of us who are waiting, I mean, honestly, I also, like, wasted in my terms, like, a lot of time just kind of complaining and being sad and, you know, just comparing and all these things. But, you know, I think God was really gracious to also protect me and to really give me time for me personally to grow. So it will happen. I know it's hard to believe. And I used to hear this from other older married people. It will happen when it's time. And I used to like, yeah, right. You know, but it's true. It happened for me. And, you know, everything in life, not just getting married, but the next step, whatever that next step is for you, like, it will happen in God's timing. You know, you're not stuck in this season forever. You know, you will move forward. You know, God will open doors that you never expected. So just, you know, yeah, take comfort in that. You know, it's God's promise. He loves us and he will open doors for us. Yeah.
The last one is, I think we all hear, like, marriage can be challenging and is difficult. And so what are some things that have helped you in your marriage? Maybe even practically, like, if there's, like, conflicts or disagreements, like, what has really helped you to resolve those things? And yeah, I guess work towards that marriage.
Yeah, I think after we got engaged, we actually did a premarital counseling, and I don't think this is just something just for Christians to do. Even people who are not in the church, I would highly recommend every single person who is thinking about marriage should do, because in the premarital counseling, they actually go through topics which allows both the guy and the girl to really talk about some deep stuff, you know, to really talk about the past baggage, past hurts, you know, to talk about dreams, future dreams, fears, you know. So I felt like the premarital counseling was very important, because it sets up a strong foundation, a starting point for us as we go into our marriage. So even today, even now, after being married for, you know, coming to 7 years, more than 7 years already, you know, we are still, whenever we have conflict, whenever we have disagreement, we always remember the things that we covered in our premarital counseling, the principles, you know, of conflict resolution. How do you resolve conflicts? How do you agree to disagree, you know, without feeling hurt? How do you fight but still honor the other person? I feel like I don't learn this in schools. I don't learn this in the workplace. You know, nobody teaches me that. But I was glad I learned it during the premarital course, you know, that I went through. And that has helped us a lot. What do you think?
Yeah, and so that's more like before marriage. But during marriage, I think just being in a community with other married couples, godly married couples, really help. And so, yeah, like, for example, like here, we're part of the Covenant Life Group, which is made up of all married couples. And this semester, we're actually doing a study of marriage. We're going through, like, seminars and, you know, workbooks together and applications together. And I think it has helped us a lot, as well as, you know, we see our members, other couples, you know, it just helps us to like sit down and talk about topics or things that you wouldn't normally do. It just like help all of us to grow. And it's important to have community outside of marriage, just because we need help. You know, like sometimes there's things that we cannot resolve just between us, or things that it's out of our reach, and we need older married couples who've been walking further along to come in, kind of counsel us and advise us. And so, but it's important not to go and complain about your husband or wife to other people, but, to have that, group of people that you really trust as a support system. And I think that really helps the marriage. Yeah.
And just want to add to that, I think it's important to continue to develop same gender relationships even after you are in a relationship, or even after you're married. It's important to continue to have, other men in my life that I can, share with and, really go to when I have, things to share. And same for Rachel, for her to develop, strong friendships with other women too. I think that's something that maybe a lot of people overlook, that when you get married or when you come together, it's, just two of you. But we realized that God has, placed people in our life for a reason, to help us to navigate through the challenges. So when we have things that we cannot resolve between ourselves, then we can go to, maybe another older married couple for advice or to talk to them.
Let's just give them a hand.
Thank you, guys.